This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
With the nomination of federal judge Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court looks to be locked up by the political right for a generation. This is in large part thanks to a historic decision made by the court's then shakier conservative majority, the 2010 Citizens United ruling, which ended restrictions on spending by corporations, labor unions, and so on political campaigns. For the past more than a century, rich special interests have been corrupting American politics with cash money. Since that money is now unlimited, it has soared, and with it, the amount of money entirely out of public view, which the court declined to address. It's called dark money, the scourge of transparent politics. But what does it actually look like? Kimberly Reed is the director of a new documentary titled Dark Money that seeks to portray the reality of our post-Citizens United world.
I'm a huge advocate of free speech, the right to be able to freely speak. But these groups were abusing that. They had taken free speech and they were speaking from the darkness.
I don't know how to fight them. I don't know how to argue with them. I can't debate them. I can't interview them. I can't pick up the phone and say, hey, what's your interest in candidate X? Because I don't know who they are. We'll never know.
Kim, welcome to OTM.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you want to root out the inherent corruption of the campaign finance status quo. So naturally, you head straight for Montana. Not top of mind, but I guess for several reasons, it was the ideal setting for the movie.
That's right. You know, as somebody who's from there, I understood the history that Montana has. In grade school, every kid in Montana learns about the Copper Kings, about this battle between three influential guys in Butte, Montana, who are all trying to control the copper mines. The one who kind of won that out was William A. Clark. He also had an interest in politics and decided that he was going to get there by openly bribing all of the legislators in Montana. This was at a time when state legislators elected senators. So he just bought them off. He put ads in his own papers, which he owned, so that he could own the legislators who would vote for him to go to Washington, D.C. That actually led to the 17th Amendment, which declared that senators would be directly elected by the people who live in a state instead of the legislators. Knowing this history, knowing these battles between the Copper Kings, you kind of develop some healthy skepticism about the role in outside money in politics.
Now, Montana had healthy skepticism and some of the toughest campaign finance and oldest campaign finance laws in the country.
It all goes back to the Corrupt Practices Act of 1912, which essentially stated that, look, we have seen the corrupting effects that corporate control of our politics have, and we will therefore ban corporate contributions to political campaigns. That stood for about 100 years until Citizens United rolled around. So at the time, Attorney General Steve Bullock led the charge to defend Montana's 100-year-old law.
What we have in this record is an act that was passed by the people to address corporate corruption. And it's more than just the history, it's also the present.
All Bullock was saying was that, look, in Montana, we've seen this story before. We know what happens when big money comes in from out of state and gets involved in our politics. That's why we created the Corrupt Practices Act of 1912. And we think that that should hold sway in Montana. That did not hold sway.
22 states and the District of Columbia backed Montana's effort, but in a short half-page decision today, the court's five most conservative justices said the state law violated the free speech rights of corporations.
This is actually where I thought the film was going to start. I thought that we're going to have a quick six-month film about the state of Montana goes to Washington, overturning Citizens United. That is not what happened. Instead of 6 months, it took me about 6 years.
But in that 6 years, something extraordinary did happen. You were working with an investigative reporter named John Adams, formerly of the Great Falls Tribune, who was working similar turf. And between you, you found a narrative that showed the very particulars about how all of this dark money works.
As we were following the influence of dark money in Montana, the name that kept popping up again and again and again was Western Tradition Partnership, which then actually changed its name to become American Tradition Partnership. It's the same group, just trying to rename themselves, probably in part to just cloud the waters. It was clear that they were supporting a lot of Republican candidates in the 2010 primary, and one of those candidates was Art Wittig, who ended up becoming the Senate Majority Leader. After we dug a little bit at who was really behind American Tradition Partnership, it turns out that they were just another front group to obfuscate things even more. They were a front group for the National Right to Work Committee, an anti-union group that's run out of Virginia.
So much for local Montana politics. Now, you found this out through the most unlikely means. You got some leaked documents, or I don't know if even leaked is the right word, but it started in a car burglary out of state.
That's right. And there's still a lot of theories about this. A bunch of documents regarding the 2008 and 2010 campaigns were found in a stolen car. The documents somehow left that stolen car and somehow ended up in Denver, Colorado, in something that everybody refers to as
a meth house that was being raided by the police, and someone who was there was heading out the window and grabbed file boxes with these documents.
And then apparently someone turned those documents over to a state senator in Colorado,
who mails them to the commissioner of political practices in Montana.
This is a kind of a deus ex machina development. But nonetheless, these documents were smoking guns of the direct kind of string pulling of Western Tradition Partnership and American Tradition Partnership, and included a play-by-play for how the local candidates should run their campaigns and provided the materials to do that, which still, even in a Citizens United universe, is illegal.
The one thing that you still can't do is coordinate. But what was going on in these documents that we found, this smoking gun that we found, was it wasn't just a manual for how the individual candidates should run their campaigns. It was actually describing how these third-party groups were going to run the campaign for the candidates.
Advice on how to run your campaign, how to talk to the press, professionally written website, campaign slicks, life letter, gun letter, right to work letter, just a carpet bombing in the last few weeks before the election.
There's a line from one of their PowerPoint presentations, something to the effect that you can just go home, put your feet up, and watch the election results roll in.
Now, these documents emerged in the hands of a dinky little Montana state agency, under-resourced, understaffed, whose job it is to monitor campaign finance in the state. And they were not idle. They actually used it as the basis of a case against the legislator, Art Wittig.
That's correct. Thanks to the recent appointment of a commissioner of political practices who took his job really seriously, Jonathan Modell tried to get to the bottom of this.
And Art Wittig's testimony, which we see in the film, was moi? Coordination? No, no, no. I scarcely knew these people existed.
I don't remember ever seeing this.
I'm looking at the documents that have been provided, and whether you meant to or not, it looks like you filled out A through D, correct?
I don't know.
Okay. All right, that's fine if you don't know.
But the evidence was overwhelming.
That's right. And 10 out of 12 members of the jury found that Mr. Wittig had violated campaign finance law in Montana.
State lawmaker Art Wittig of Bozeman faced the judge today to hear his penalty for accepting illegal corporate campaign contributions.
Yeah, while the judge did not remove Representative Wittig from office, somebody else already has. The voters of his district. He lost the Republican primary 10 days ago, and his term expires this December.
There's a temptation for despair, because the power of these outside groups is so corrupting and so overwhelming. But the movie is also in some ways inspiring. Watching Montana citizens bridle at what was happening in their state, and there's this dramatic scene in the movie where there is a supposed town hall being sponsored by the Koch brothers-funded Americans for Prosperity that nominally was to give information on the coming doom of Medicaid expansion, but was really kind of a politicking against the incumbent Republican legislator. So it's a room full of Republicans, and suddenly they realize that this game is rigged.
Hey, wait a second. What's going on here?
This isn't a public forum, ladies and gentlemen. Darling, I tell you some BS and you're going to have no chance to talk. If Jeff Wilburn walks, I walk. Bye.
So these are Republicans who came to a Republican meeting and shouted down the dark money guy. Many of them walked out of the town hall.
Money in politics, it's not a left or right issue. And I think that's reflective of what's going on in the rest of the nation. Montana's just a microcosm when it comes to this. Here's a story for you. A couple days ago in Tempe, Arizona, 91% of the people in a city election said that they wanted to have disclosure in their city elections. 91%. A couple days after that, the state legislature passed a law that would negate Tempe's vote. Just yesterday, the governor signed that into law. Now, we can look at that and we can be really discouraged, but I really think that campaign finance is going to move in the same way that marriage equality moved at a local grassroots level, that it's going to start with this city council over here and that city council over here, and then a school board and then some more school boards, and then a state is going to come behind it like Montana did, like California did. And pretty soon, we're going to have a tipping point.
I don't want to puncture your hope balloon here, but the Koch brothers, for example, have poured most of their vast treasure spent on politics in the United States in state legislatures to pack them with conservative Republicans to sustain the very system that you would like to see dismantled. So that's a tough row to hoe, is it not?
It's a tough row to hoe. And the really scary thing is what you're seeing is dark money operating not only in candidate elections, not only on these 2 to 4 year cycles when people are running for office. What you're seeing is the influence of dark money to affect policy once officials are elected. But this scene that we love in the film of everyday citizens standing up and walking out on a Koch brothers-funded AFP town hall, I don't think that other states are too far away from paying that same sort of attention. Montana shows that there is a lot of hope, because if you pay attention to these issues, if you vote on them, if you hold your elected officials accountable, that you can actually turn the tide. And you can turn the tide in a state that Mr. Trump won by 20 points.
Kim, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Kimberly Reed is the director of the documentary Dark Money in theaters now. That's it for this week's Pod Extra. For more OTM, sign up for our newsletter, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. I'm Bob Garfield.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.